All right, welcome to the Aces 91 Alumni, the Pioneers. My name is Kevin. I have Jeremy here, Daniel, and Zach. So to cover this part of the podcast, it's going to be ages U11 to U14. So U11 was our first year in select, and up to U14. So to start off, what difference did you notice in your experience of pre-select soccer and your first year of select soccer? So for me, one thing I noticed is the seriousness or the professionalism as far as, like, a quick example, like before games, we had to line up our bags. Yeah. And then, like, I think warm-ups were a little bit more structured as well. And then the as far as, like, the point system, I think we took that a lot more seriously also. And then, like, how we dressed, our uniforms were a lot better.
Yeah.
Compared to before. But those are really the things that I noticed immediately. As far as the level, I mean, obviously, another thing too, games from week to week are going to be better because you're no longer playing the lower level teams. So, but as far as the biggest difference, I'd just say the atmosphere of things just seemed a lot more professional like.
Yeah, I think that was 11 when you actually, that's when you start 11v11, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, 11v11.
So exactly. It's really all new because it's 11v11. Home and away, uniforms, like
that too. Yeah.
Bigger field, the corner kick felt like forever. It took forever to kick that one.
Yeah.
In terms of level of play, there's a lot more space. A lot more space than what you think. But I think we still played, I think when you're that, we still played only 25 halves or maybe 30 halves. You didn't play 45s yet.
No, not that. Thinking at most 30?
I want to say 25 or 30. Mm-hmm. So it still felt long. It's a lot of running compared to what was before.
Mm-hmm.
So you had to be more tactical and more technical. You know, you couldn't run for the whole time. You got tired. Passing, you know, you can't dribble the whole field again. You can't, that was, you know, if you were the star on the team before, you can dribble the whole way. That couldn't happen. You just get way too tired and burnt out.
Mm.
But it was exciting for sure. It felt like, you know, because you always had maybe an 18 team that come and play afterwards. Like, oh, we put on the same field as the 18s. Or the game before was a good one to watch.
And the fields were obviously good way quality. Better. At that time.
Richland, right?
Yeah.
Richland and HD was the only two.
Yeah.
Daniel?
Well, for me, it was really more just the seriousness of it and just having, like you said, the atmosphere of knowing that it's no longer just, as you could say, just recreational.
Yeah.
It's, you signed that contract. You're on that team for the rest of the year. There's a little bit more pressure to win, you know, that you were in a league where if you don't get certain points, you could potentially move down, you know. So that's basically what I would see, that the level of competitiveness was definitely a lot higher and the pressure was there. And that's pretty much what I see.
Zach?
Yeah, for me, the big difference was coaching. Because I joined Aces right before we were about to go, like while we were preparing to go to select. So I never played with Aces pre-select. Pre-select, I was just on my city team getting coached by the local dad. So coaching was a huge thing for me when I made the move to select. And it definitely showed me the professionalism side of soccer. So that was good.
Okay. And for the next question, during this time, where do you think the level of your team was? And so, as our team, I remember U11, the first year they had all 20 teams, and then the second year they split it into two leagues. And our team,
that way.
Yeah.
Our team, the first, you played 10,
20 total, and then the bottom 10 go to the second. We went to the second,
the first
division
after the first.
I didn't think though that. I think maybe there was like 2-3 teams in the first division who were like clearly better than us.
Yeah.
Like clearly.
Hawks.
Hawks was the best.
Yeah,
because
Hawks.
Because they were so big.
Texans. And then maybe, I was Andromeda that time.
Solar was good.
Solar was good.
Was
yeah,
good.
Okay. Maybe more than 2 or 3. Maybe like. maybe like four or five, but we ended up in the second division in any case. And as far as the level of our team state, I mean, our North Texas was pretty strong too, relative to the whole nation.
North Texas was very strong.
So even though we were second division, I mean, national, I wouldn't say, like, in North Texas, it wasn't uncommon for the first team in North Texas to be the national team. Or putting everything into perspective.
To beat the regional team.
Yeah.
I would say the regional team is comprised of
mostly
Texas kids.
Yeah.
And most probably North Texas kids.
Yeah. And just to keep on the question, as far as where our team was, where we were, I think that we were a second division our second year, because like we stated in the first podcast, we had a few players who were really good, but then there was a big drop off.
Yeah.
So I think that's
as good as our weakest link.
Right.
Yeah. Exactly. Jeremy.
So I obviously left this season. This is the season I left.
Mm-hmm.
So I started select with Texans.
Mm-hmm.
We ended up being fourth. I think fourth for 2 years due to size.
Oh really? You guys had that problem?
Yeah, we were small. We were a very small team.
Yeah. Okay.
Goalie situation is always like that. But I think, I guess, kind of going back to the first question, but also this is probably a problem for every team, was getting to finally understand positioning. Like, you had your position, like, you are midfielder, you are forward, you're defender. I mean, even now, growing up, you know, we coach eights, it's everybody plays every position. Yeah. You know, I still really, you kind of have a sense of like, hey, this guy could be our center back, this guy could be our forward when it comes to that point. But now when you play 11s, it's you do have to stay in your position. And that's the coaching piece. It's 11s. You have to, you understand, like, it's your role to be in that spot. I think that's a big jump from pre-select. And it could be just 11s, playing 11v11 versus 6s and 7s. Is understanding the field, understanding shape, covering an area that you have to cover.
And Jeremy, just about that, like, you speaking of these tactics more so, because I know Texans, they put a big emphasis on tactics. I don't know at what age, but do you think that also played a level between, like, the two or three teams above you and your team from U11 to U14?
Probably not. Not yet.
It was more size.
Right, because you could have been out of position, but be fast, and you'll be okay.
Good
you
point.
Could, you, could, you could basically maybe play with one center mid, but he was big and strong.
And
you could be fine. Or you can maybe not even have a center back, but have a good goalie, and you could still be okay.
Good point.
It was, I think from 11, 13, that age, maybe starting at 10, you start figuring out where is your strength of the team, where do you fit in the 11, you know, where do you fit in the 90-minute game, like, what is your role, which is exciting, you know, but unfortunately, you know, you have the, I'm trying to figure who, Ben Hill, you know.
Yeah.
Tactically not good, technically not very good, just big and strong, and he had a cannon.
And he was on Hawks.
He was a Hawks.
The number one team. Oh.
Yeah, he was
Hawks had every big player except one.
Every big player.
Except for that one. But everyone else was huge.
Right.
And that really, they were undefeated that year, right?
They were amazing. I mean, it was, you couldn't go against
so
them.
So, there was Hawks, a big gap. Number two was there. So between Hawks and...
Hawks, Andromeda, Solar, and then Texans.
But it was Hawks, there was a gap.
Yeah.
And then 2-3, and then maybe you guys 4, because size was still
in terms of being scared
left.
To play against someone, it was definitely Hawks.
Yeah.
Everyone
like,
needed
and it. There was a gap, too. Like, it wasn't 1-2.
It's just because physically, they were just, like, dominant.
Yeah.
Right. You basically knew you were going to lose against them.
Yeah.
They had big athletic players in every position. Yeah.
Right.
It's funny though, because their best player was small.
Yeah.
That's the.
But he was the one that got those guys the ball.
So. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Daniel.
So as far as our team compared to everyone else at Youth 11, I mean, I kind of just whenever we were playing at that age, I didn't really pay attention much to the size or anything, because I mean it was just going out there and try hard. But I did realize that there are kids that are faster than you, that have developed more, you know, because I played in the midfield area, so I was running back and forth, and I was like, oh, man, I'm tired. You know, you had to kind of...
And we at that time carried a big load because of the difference we're saying between high and low, so maybe if we had, like, better players, you wouldn't have to work as much.
Yeah, because I remember being a box-to-box player, going all the way up, coming all the way back, going all the way up, coming out, and I was like, what's going on, you know? Like, and it wasn't that, you know, we weren't trying to play as a team. It was just that we still had a couple screws that were loose that we just needed to fix. And but you could definitely tell that if there's other teams that were better than you and teams that weren't better than you. But you kind of just, we were in the middle of the stack there.
Yeah.
And
it's funny, I think we were like 11th place.
Yeah, we so just missed it.
We were close.
Yeah, 11th or 12th.
Yeah, you were close.
We just missed it, you know. But I think the second season we got first place and then we came back.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, we moved up right away.
Yeah, we moved up. So you could tell we were there. It was just a matter of our development. As far as size, too, because we weren't a big team either, you know. We weren't a big team the entire time. We never had big players. Just one. Lucas. Ryan. Yeah,
but that was much
later.
That
was way later. Yeah.
When it didn't really make that much of a difference.
Yeah, we were small. You know, we kind of had to figure that out. We had to figure out that, hey, we had to touch the ball around, move it fast, or else as soon as someone touches us, you know.
And it's not just that we were small, too, because, like, if you have small players, but, like, everyone's really athletic, that might, you might be okay.
It could help you, yeah.
Lucas was basically our six. Like, he sat there, our eight, you know, depending on how you wanted to play.
Defensive. That's the needle.
But yeah, Daniel, I think from considering U11 to U14, I would say for the most part we were somewhere in the middle.
Yeah, we were always in that area where, we could, if we played our best, we can give a challenge to the top guys. But if we didn't, there was no chance.
So how did you guys lose? I mean, in terms of what did you think that why you lost? Yeah, why you lost?
I mean, we were like a...
And the Zach, this will then transition to you.
Okay, yeah. I mean, we were like a 2 or 3 player team.
Yep,
we went
true.
To three.
I
we
agree.
Went to like...
I agree.
This guy, Daniel. We wanted Daniel to get the ball, and we wanted Kevin to get the ball if we wanted to win.
So there wasn't... You didn't... And we didn't have Josh. It was Josh. Josh,
no,
was
okay. Josh wasn't on the team.
Josh
yet.
No, Josh came within this period, though. U11 to U14.
You think he was like... We were like 14, though.
I think tail end of...
Yeah, he came in. Yeah, right. But at the beginning, he wasn't there.
Kind of just like me and you in the middle and passing it to trying to get it.
But
we didn't even have a forward at that time either. No, we didn't have any speedy forward.
One good defender we had though at that time was Daniel Coleman.
We had a good defense. We didn't concede a lot of goals, but we didn't score a lot of goals.
Right.
Against the tough teams at least.
Our attack started from like the center mids.
Yeah.
After that,
we were experts at missing a lot too.
We really didn't have.
I know, like, when we first started though, they didn't, like, Sammy and Miguel, Coach Miguel, they never really preached winning at the beginning. They just wanted us to develop first.
Play the ball around, move it, play the game.
So it didn't really put a ton of pressure
on us to try to
you know, go kill and win.
Yeah.
A lot of us were out there. To have fun at the
beginning. Dude, I was just having fun.
Yeah.
which goes against kind of what we just said about your first question. What is different from 11 was competitive professionalism.
Well,
But then you preach it's not about winning. So it's kind of hard to be in that setting.
Oh, yeah, for
you
sure.
You know, to have
for
all
sure.
teams around you. You're wearing the nice kits.
Yeah.
You know, you're playing a day out. There is a little bit of winning, but then when you go to the game, the coach says it's not about winning. So it was kind of a paradox there.
Yeah.
We didn't know, like, is this about winning or is this not about winning? It seems like it should be, but it's kind of not.
Yeah.
So that was kind of... I always felt that, too. I felt that a little bit.
Yeah, I know other teams, you could see it in their coaches. Some coaches at that age would go crazy on their kids because all they want to do is win. I mean, Sammy was hard on us, too, but he didn't put that immense pressure on us at that age to win. You know, he wasn't like... If we lost, he wasn't, unless it was a bad loss and he didn't
like
he wasn't going to make us
effort.
Sprint.
Like, we didn't try,
like effort.
Of course he would get
he
on.
He preached
like
effort. That's what he wanted. He wanted to see that we were trying to win. But at that age, he didn't put an immense pressure on us to win.
Right.
And I think that helped our development in a sense because you know, we weren't burnt out just focusing on winning. We were focusing on becoming better players.
Right. You don't peak at that age.
Yeah.
And I think another thing, too, is that imagine, like, we didn't have athletic players, but, like, we still took risks, like, passing it around. And there were players that weren't up to that level. So we would, like, lose balls trying to do the right thing.
That's another reason why we didn't really – we weren't at the top of it. Because we never – they never – Sammy and – they never want us to kick the ball. He never wants to just kick it.
We were never lobbing the ball up or nothing. We were playing, trying to
– And when you're playing against – against teams that are bigger and stronger than you, sometimes if you're just trying to pass it out, they're just going to overpower you and take it. They're already close to the goal, so they don't have to build up play.
It's kind of, they scored off of our mistakes, in a sense, how it even happens to us at the younger age. How we try to play from the back, but
they're
still learning how to even control the ball. Yeah. You know?
At a younger age, that's how a lot of goals are scored off of other teams' mistakes.
Well, that's how a lot of the goals are scored on our teams right now, but it's more of just teaching them the right ways. Play it right. Don't just kick it up and...
So I'll go to the next question. What was your experience of youth soccer? I guess we covered this too during this period as far as the playing, the teammates, the club atmosphere, and coaching. I'd say we pretty much covered all that.
Yeah.
So I'll head to the next question. What differences did you notice about your team with every passing year from U11 to U14? So as far as what I noticed from U11 to U14... Man, to be honest, I think it was steady.
Yeah.
I don't think it wasn't like low, and then we just shot up like that, like from U11 to U4. It was steady.
Yeah,
you didn't really notice it that much.
I don't really. No. Yeah, I don't think back on when I look back, it's not like we had like this drastic increase.
Not,
of like, oh, all of a sudden we're beating teams.
No, not to U11 to U14.
It was up and down, up and down.
Yeah.
But you guys never went down though. The thing is that. You guys were what, 11?
10, 11.
And then you went to maybe 8, and then 7, and then 6.
Yeah,
it
gradual.
Wasn't like, you went up, and then you guys went down again.
It was very steady and slow.
Very, very steady.
Yeah.
And Jeremy, what differences did you notice about your team with every passing year from U11 to U14?
I guess I'll answer it in a different way, in terms of commitment. You started... kind of seeing the players that are going to stay with soccer.
With soccer, really?
Stay with soccer.
From U11 to U14.
You can kind of see it.
Because at 14, you're about to go to high school soon.
Right.
Start playing
so
football,
it was,
you start playing different
sports.
This
is, again, this is an investment on your life in terms of your time and energy and money. You know, your parents are paying for it, so it was, you couldn't play multiple competitive sports. And I think at Texans, there was maybe... I think it was maybe like 2 kids that played another sport. And then at that point, it was like, okay, you can't miss practice. You can't miss games. You can't have conflict. You know, tournament, I was like, wait, no, I have a basketball tournament that weekend.
So you eventually start picking
I
see what
one.
You're saying. Yeah.
So that was good. So, you know, I think obviously I'm sure we lost players as well, you know, on both teams. Due to the not playing or not wanting to play soccer anymore, you know, they didn't think this was how it was going to be. This is too competitive for them, maybe. So I think that was kind of cool to see, because then it was seriousness. You know, you felt the competitiveness on the outside. That was the atmosphere that it kind of built in. But now internally, your team is like, all right, we're weeding out the players that are not committed. And they don't want to do this. So that was kind of cool to see. You're really forming the true team now. Not 11, but at 13, 14, and really tightening the screws. You know, you had everything there, and now it's like, okay, let's really fine-tune it, and now let's do this.
Okay, so at least from what I hear from you, as far as this, it's you found out which players were more committed and then honing in on those players in order to... Okay. And Daniel?
I would say like 11, you played tournaments, you know, but not as much. You played more tournaments at 12. It started getting more serious every single year.
Soccer just became
more serious for you if you kept on doing it. And there's obviously players that jumped out and was like, no, this is it's not for me. This is way too much of my life. So
we can take over your weekends.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, definitely. Daniel?
Well, no, like I said earlier, it's just you didn't really see much of a difference as far as going up and down. Like, you didn't see a drastic increase of players just all of a sudden, our team winning. No, it was still development from 11 to 14. Catch on what he said too. Yeah, you can kind of tell who was committed and who wasn't. You know, we did lose a couple players during that time.
Mm-hmm.
We did gain new players at that time, and the new players that we got were committed. You know, because that was at that age where you know you have a couple more years, and then you could potentially get a scholarship. You start thinking kind of at that age of 14-ish. Oh, okay, what's next? College. Oh, can I go professional? Do I need to try harder? You know, because back then, you kind of, well, for me, in my experience, I thought, okay, if I'm not professional by 18, then I'll never be professional. That's kind of
how it is.
That's how it
in
was.
Other parts of the world.
Yeah.
Right.
And it can change nowadays. Like, you could be 21 and even just have a chance, you know?
Yeah.
But it is still kind of like, oh, if you're not 18 and you don't have a contract, then...
Except for U.S., because usually it's like you go to college.
Yeah, yeah. For,
so you're in your 20s.
Yeah, here in the U.S., it's a little bit behind on that as far as when you go pro, unless you
go overseas.
The academy, too, though.
Yeah. Or you go overseas.
Overseas,
yeah.
Stuff like that. But, yeah, at that age, 11, 14, you kind of just realize who... Like you said, who's serious and, you know, who you can count on and that you know they'll be there. So,
yeah.
I mean, in terms of our team from 11 to 14, as those years progressed, we became a little bit less of a 2 or 3 man team.
Yep.
So I think that helped us in our gradual increase.
Mm-hmm. Definitely.
You know, because the way that your dad preached us to play, since we kept repeating over and over, those same things, we eventually started to get better at them.
Mm-hmm.
And we did keep a good core of our group together.
Yeah.
We didn't lose a lot of players. Mm-hmm. And the players we gained helped us, actually.
Yeah.
We got players like Jared, so we finally had a fast forward.
Josh
We got
Kobe.
Josh Kopi, who was a workhorse.
Yeah.
I mean...
Was Bosma the original?
Yeah.
Bosma
was there forever.
Yeah, was close to original.
Since U11.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So,
he developed immensely.
Yeah,
yeah,
me and...
By the end, he was solid, you know?
Yeah, yeah. So, I just thought that was a big thing, you know, was that we became less of a 2 or 3 man team.
100%.
And it just kept getting better. Like, it just kept getting better from there. So.
Yeah.
We started getting players from different clubs because they liked the way we played, too, so...
Yeah.
And obviously, when you start winning, because we were... It was steady, but obviously you could see, like, okay, this team's getting better.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then, actually, Zach, what you said leads me to my answer for this next question is, what differences did you notice about your own development with every passing year during this period from 10 to 14 years old? And for me, it's that I was beginning to play more with other players because I know at U10, U11, me and Daniel had a lot of the ball, but with time, we had to now... get everyone involved.
Yeah, because you guys had all the attention.
Yeah.
Because
so,
they knew if they
exactly.
took you out of the game.
Yeah,
and that was just good for us, too, to play with other people.
Yeah.
So at this time, my role was actually getting less and less, which is good for the team. And actually good for me, too, because you got to play with other people at the end of the day. But so that's actually the biggest difference. I'd say I went from a big role to U11 to a much smaller and smaller role as time went on. Because now it was more important to rely on more players on the team as opposed to just me and Daniel. Because even so, you couldn't rely on two players the older you get. I mean, eventually you're going to need a larger team.
Anymore.
And Jeremy, you can continue with that.
I practiced a lot more.
Mm-hmm.
Had a trainer on the side. So it was like 2 days of practice. And then I trained one day with another trainer of mine.
What type of trainer was this? Was this like skills or physical?
Skills.
Okay.
Skills. It's the same trainer as Lee. Same trainer as Gregory Garza.
And if you could just let these guys know who Lee and Garza are.
So Lee Wynn was basically a Dallas legend. He was an 87 Texan. Came out of Texans, went to Indiana, then played Indiana 1 year, went to PSV, Eindhoven, and then...
In Holland, Netherlands?
In Holland. he didn't get to play. There's a manager change. New manager didn't like him. So then he went to go play in Vietnam for a couple of years, boost his confidence up. Then he came back to Revolution.
And he's now, still there, right?
So he went to Revolution, then he went to LA, and then he went to Miami, and he didn't play anything in Miami this year. And then he went back to Revolution now, so he's back at Revolution.
And Garza?
Garza has actually played up his whole life. He's actually 92.
Yeah.
He joined Texans the second year. Didn't want to play with the 92 Texan, play with us.
College? Did he go to college?
Didn't go to college. He basically left. He moved down to Brazil at the age of 14 or 15. Mm. I think he was a Sao Paulo scout. Then played in Portugal.
I know where he's
playing.
Mexico,
he played in Mexico. Played in Mexico, Tijuana. And then now in the MLS.
Yeah.
I think he's got some injuries now, but he settled down. But
And this is the trainer that you were with.
Yeah.
At this time.
He was actually my brother's goalie coach, and then we all connected with all these little people.
Okay.
So that was part of my development, was getting more skills out there, new trainer. Another part was just understanding your body. You know, I wasn't the tallest person. You know, I had to stay healthy. Thankfully, mm-hmm. it wasn't injury prone, tear up my ankle, muscles, everything like that. Eating good foods. It's a long road, you know, and that was kind of preached a lot of Texans was, you know, eat well, feel well, stretch, you know, rehab, all that other stuff that kept you going for the long, long run. So I think that was one of the big things was, you know, not going to Friday night dances anymore. It was if you had 8 o'clock games, you had to stay in, you know, understand your sleep. It was all that stuff that was already starting at that age.
And what about as far as, like, your role within the team from U11 to U14?
Played right mid. So I played right mid and forward growing up. Mm-hmm. I never played right mid ever at Texans. I was always a forward. So that was new to me, understanding a new position. You know, not being the goal scorer, not being the focus, the number nine, if you will. I was now a 7 or an 11 on the outsides. Crossing was not part of my repertoire. It wasn't part of my skill set until I went to Texans, because I had to play out wide. So I learned a lot in that sense. If people that was always true forwards, you don't know how to play another position. So I was glad I was able to go on the outside and play out wide. You saw the game very differently. You know, you see the whole game when you're out wide. So that was interesting.
So are you saying it like made you more of a versatile player
from U11 to U14? I think you had to be. Yeah. I think for my size and stature, I had to be more versatile. I mean, there was always a point that was like, yeah, I was fast, but there was a point that I may for sure not be the fastest ever. At that point still, I came from being the fastest probably.
Mm-hmm.
And then you go and you see Hawks and stuff and it's like, all right, crap. I can't outrun them anymore. You know, so what do you do? You know, what I need to change how I play, you know. And that's, I think that was the difference thing with again, Aces kind of stayed how they played, which obviously works, you know. Maybe not at that age, but it builds upon and builds. But, you know, how can I think it taught me to adapt. I think that was another thing that was kind of taught the Texans was, all right, this is the cards you're dealt. You have 90 minutes figured out.
Okay.
You know, you need to learn that you don't win always this way. You know, you may not win. You have to play counterattack this one game.
Okay.
You know, that was
the biggest thing.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah, like it's not, sometimes it's not a bad game when you don't have the ball the whole time.
I see
that's the game that you're given to you.
Okay.
Like, as a winger, there are games you just don't get the ball.
Mm-hmm.
You know, even our team, we were a left-sided team with Josh. We were a left side.
There was a time where we went there a lot.
Yeah, you're a left side. So as a right
hand,
if I put a right back, like, you don't have the game.
But
you know?
Josh could just run like for days.
Right. But what is your role in that 90-minute game when you know you won't have the ball? Like, what can you do to, you know, contribute to the team? And you have to learn that. So that was kind of cool. I thought that was really interesting, learning that.
Yeah, and we can, on that one specifically, we can get that one to the next chapter because I know you came. And, And Daniel, and I'll just go back. You remember the question?
Yeah, as far as my role when I was
from
11 to 14.
Yeah.
I really don't think it changed much, you know. I was still in the midfield. Yes, we did have to play more with the other players, but I wasn't much of a dribbler. I don't remember being much of a dribbler. I was more of the guy, if I got it, I'll go look for someone else. I'll pass it to someone.
Distributor.
I distributed the ball.
Yeah.
I think to this day, I'm still that type of player. Like, if I get the ball, I'm going to look for someone. And I think it was more of just as development is learning where to be, you know, get into those spaces, because I wasn't the biggest guy. You know, so I had to learn to separate myself from other players, and sometimes I couldn't, you know, and that was the frustrating part.
Yeah. Can you say that again?
It was frustrating that I couldn't separate myself from someone.
And like when trying to dribble them, or just creating space for yourself?
Just creating space for myself someone can give it to me, or say one of our players got the ball, and at one point I was open, but then it took a little too long to give it to me, to where then the player would get on me already. And
right.
If I didn't get that ball in time, since I was smaller, I knew I would get banged up or all that stuff. So, I mean, after a lot of games, I was always banged up. I'm sure everyone was. But, I mean, being in the middle, you get most of the action.
Like, you know, I'll say this right now.
It's a hard role. I can never
do that. I'll say this. Yeah, for Daniel, for your role, like in our early years, Even as much as I may have contributed to the team, I would say you were actually the driving force of the team from defense to offense.
You're more disciplined.
I would say your role was probably the most important as far as the function of the team.
The general.
Yeah, the general. I would say so.
The engine. You know, and that was the thing. Like, if I didn't give it my all, I kind of felt like, I was the starter.
We were in trouble.
If I didn't play good.
Yeah, we were in trouble.
We were in trouble. And that was the. So I guess the pressure too. It went a little bit higher too as I got older, you know. And then the next chapter of it, my attitude did change a little bit.
We'll get there.
And that's something I wish I didn't do. You know, but yeah, it was more of learning to adapt, try to give myself time instead of just receiving it and then having someone on me right away.
Okay.
Just learning the game more, watching more YouTube videos. Mm. You know, that was the time of YouTube. Mm-hmm. I mean, I was watching Ronaldinho, players with skill. Really, I should have been watching like Pirlo or someone else, you know?
Yeah.
I think that's the one thing that kids now, like, don't look at the flashy players. Look at the player that plays your position, you know? Mm-hmm. That's the one thing that I wish I did do more. I think it comes also with someone helping you, too, to understand it, too, that it's not about the flash. It's about learning your position and see what that player does. Go watch the game and see what that player does instead of just watching the flashy one.
Yeah, and just to add to that, I mean, like, let's say when Ronaldinho was playing, he's one position, but the fact of the matter is most players don't play his position.
Exactly.
So it doesn't make sense, trying to model his game after him.
So I would try to model games of someone that didn't fit me, you know?
Right.
So that's one part. Yeah, I should have been watching the Beatles.
Your favorite player growing up?
Ronaldinho? Yeah.
Almost everyone's
favorite. Cristiano Ronaldo.
I was a Beckham guy.
The flash guy.
I loved Beckham. How he kicked the ball, I loved how he played.
Yeah. But I was a Thierry Henry fan.
That's mine. Zach, on this one, what differences did you notice about your own development with every year from U11 to U14?
So my perspective is a little different. I mentioned in the last podcast that from the beginning, with the younger age, I was one of the players that was at the bottom of the totem pole. Not necessarily because of my skill or anything.
No, your skill was as good as anyone else's.
I was told a lot about my size. I was very small. Like, you talk about small players, I was really small.
You were probably the smallest on the team.
I was always athletic, but I was just really small.
Right.
Yeah.
So it was tough for me against, you know, the stronger physical players. But what helped me a lot was the type of game that we played, and what your dad would preach is, like, the ball moves faster than your feet. So if you get rid of the ball before the defender can even get to you, what can they do? You don't have the ball anymore. So it helped me learn the game, you know, when to pass, when to dribble.
And actually, Zach, I gotta stay on this too. Like, that is such a huge advantage being in your position from U11 to U14, because your off the ball movement, your technique has to be on point.
Yeah.
That's a huge advantage.
I'm not going to sit there and try to post up a guy that's on my back because they're just going to outmuscle me. So I had to learn how to get into spaces. I didn't really play much U11 to U14, you know, but I gained a lot of experience in terms of learning the game. Maybe not tactically, but in terms of offensively, you know, how to get the ball. And I think that just gave me a different perspective in my development as a player.
I think it gave you a huge advantage. It's funny to say, but I remember at that time, like, there were games where we would only bring you on, like, okay, we're 6-0 up, Zach. Yeah. Go in. Like, games that were safe.
I would still score one, though.
Yeah, you would. Oh, you would. But I'm just saying that's where you started. But, man, I think the good thing is that you couldn't develop bad habits.
Right.
I would say that was a really good.
You had to come in and show what you like. You always had to go in there with that mentality.
Yeah,
I have to prove.
Yeah, I mean, it helped me that I didn't have a bad attitude about it.
Yeah, that's true.
If I would assault all
that's
the time,
that's very true.
That's amazing.
That's a very true. Yeah. That's very true.
And then you end up becoming one of our best players. See what happens.
And at a period, I think he was the best player.
Yeah,
I think so.
Towards the end, yeah.
The very end.
Yeah.
And then for the next question. Yeah. From U11 to U14, why did you decide to stay on your team throughout this period? For me, because my dad was a coach, if I was going to play soccer, the only time I would have gone out is if I went to a different country.
Heard this one.
That's the only time. Jeremy, why did you decide to stay on your team from U11 to U14? Or was there no reason to go if there wasn't?
I don't think there was a reason for me to leave. Yet, you know, I was playing. I mean, think of anything point in your life. If you are still enjoying what you're doing, you're getting playing time, you're getting support, you're happy with what you're doing.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, yes, winning was part of it. I was winning. But I was also getting exposure to other coaches. I would go practice with the 90s, I would practice with the 89s. I got to meet more people. Different coaching styles and stuff like that.
So that gave you, I'm assuming that gave you more incentive to stay?
Yeah, I had the option to. I mean, at that point, what Aces had, we had just a 90 team.
And the 90s was kind of breaking apart.
It was a 92, yeah, so it was just you had.
Towards U14, right. They were kind of. So you actually, we were the first team, the oldest team at that point.
Essence, yeah.
U14.
That stayed. Yeah. Right. So I just think having a lot of options at that point in time was good. Playing, you know, consistently with top players against top teams, going to the right tournaments, if you want to call them right or not, it just made you better. You were in that environment to become a better player, and I think I was continuing to enjoy that at that age. So.
Okay. And Daniel?
Well, what made me stay on this team, really, I was still enjoying it. That's the thing. Like, I didn't even have a second thought about even changing teams.
Did anyone recruit you personally? I still think, though, that people were recruiting you, but like you said, my dad was like, nah, he's staying here.
Yeah,
no. Because I was like, the way you were, I was like, man, I feel like you could have gone to teams that were better than us at that time.
I didn't.
Yeah.
I don't. I mean, like you said, maybe your dad stopped it, or
yeah, I'm pretty sure he did.
Or I just didn't. I never even had that thought, thinking, oh, because if we lost, I didn't take it to heart.
That's the thing too. Like, honestly, for me, like, I wasn't even looking at wins and losses. I was looking, oh, was it fun or not?
Yeah, like I don't remember. Like, I cried once when we lost the tournament. In San Antonio.
Was it when we played...
Yeah, I think we lost the Hawks.
Yeah.
Okay.
We lost 1-0.
Yeah. Alamo Cup, by the way.
Yeah, it was the Alamo Cup. Yeah.
Yeah, we lost 1-0. Because of the keeper. That Jeremy mentioned earlier.
The
keepers are important.
Yeah.
And he said, like, the sun was in my eyes.
Yeah, it bounced over his head.
Yeah.
That's the only time I really...
And
was so passionate about that we lost because I felt like we should have won.
Remember, too, I had a one-on-one, and the referee called it.
Stop the play.
Yeah, because the guy pulled my shirt, and he stopped me like,
But other than that, general. I mean, I didn't have a reason to leave. I mean, I was still enjoying it. You did have to sacrifice as far as just not going out with your friends and all that stuff, but I wasn't burnt out yet.
Mm-hmm.
You know, yeah, there was a time of period that was later on, but at that time, there was just no reason to leave. I was enjoying myself. I believed in Sammy, and my parents were supportive. They took me everywhere, and
mm-hmm.
was having the time of my life, you know, because, I mean, when you hear stories about your parents, what they came from, and what they're giving you, you look back and say, like, I got to do this also for them, too, you know, try to, you know, because at that time, I was really thinking, hey, I'm going to go pro, you know, no matter what,
mm-hmm.
you know, like they said, what do you want to be in life? You know, in school, you know what they say, like, what do you want to be?
Yeah.
I never said anything doctor. I never said anything like that. I always said I wanted to be a pro soccer player. So I was, at that time, it was more like work hard and try to get your family out of what they're in.
Right.
You know? So that's how I took it. And if I was still enjoying it, then just keep going.
And Zach, I want to include, as far as why did you decide to stay on this team throughout the period? If you could include like you and your dad also, because I think your dad plays a huge part.
I was going to mention my parents. So, I mean, I guess the reason I stayed at Aces was because I felt comfortable there. A lot of, because I feel like a lot of kids in my position would have left. Maybe it might not have been their choice, but it would have been their parents' choice.
Because
at that age, your parents are investing in you because they have to pay for you to play in the club. So a lot of parents would get frustrated that their kid wasn't playing.
Yep.
I see that now in some clubs. They'll go and yell at the coach or something. My dad never did that, not once. Mm-hmm. He was actually the manager, I think, the first year.
Yeah.
So he was really involved in the team, even though I wasn't even playing much.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
My dad was actually best friends with Sammy. He was always talking, we were always going over to your house.
I know,
even though your dad still wouldn't play
much. I know.
It was kind of strange to be honest. So I mean, my dad never pushed that on me. He never pushed that negative side on me. Like, mm-hmm. oh, my kid's not playing. Let me get mad and you know, pull my kid out of the team. Get mad at the coach. So it, in a sense, I felt comfortable because I felt it's like, you know, my dad wanted me to be there. I liked being there.
There's no pressure.
There wasn't pressure for me. No.
Mm-hmm.
That has to feel so good.
Yeah.
God, you guys went much better than I
did. Hey, Jeremy.
We had
no pressure. And I'll tell you this, Jeremy. My most enjoyable soccer years were like 8 years old to like 12 years old.
So enjoyable, yeah. Enjoyable, right.
The most that I love the most. But obviously with certain coaches, it's a different experience.
Right.
For the last question, from U11 to U14, I guess this is actually kind of the same thing too. So I won't even go through that one.
What is it?
No, can we take a break?
Yeah, we can. But were there any thoughts of leaving your team throughout this period?
Oh, yeah, that'd be kind of...
We didn't talk about that earlier.
Didn't really.
Yeah.
There was no thought about it.
Yeah.
We enjoyed each other's company. Yeah. Messing around.
All right, that's it for part 2. Stay tuned for part 3.